As I was going over things for this morning, I come up with a two-word title for this morning's message. Any guesses out there? Two words. That's close. He lives. You were right on, Darvin. Come on up here. Yeah, and the reason both of those titles would be appropriate is because the resurrection is the essential part of the gospel message. And it is a key doctrine to the Christian faith. And a lot of us witness to people, you know, Christ died on our cross for our sins so that believe in him and you can have eternal life. And don't forget to mention the resurrection. He not only died in the sin on the cross, but if he stopped there, we would not have eternal life. He rose from the dead. His gift of substitutionary suffering for us was accepted by God the Father. And now we have salvation because he arose. He's alive. It proved that Jesus Christ is the Almighty Son of God. But the truth, here it is, the truth of the resurrection was not immediately understood even by his close followers. I'm talking about Marys that were there and the apostles themselves. They couldn't get too much closer to Jesus in following him than the 12 apostles, but they didn't fully understand it. It gradually, slowly dawned on them that their master was not dead. He was alive. And you know, that's how it is today. That's how it is with new believers today. That's how it is with some intermediate believers today. It takes time to absorb the truth. Did you absorb all your information going through your bachelor degree program instantly? Maybe you did. You're a smart guy. But it takes time. You got to go over it again, and you got to read it again. And finally, somewhere along the line, it dawns. Oh, that's what that means. And that's how it is in your Christian walk. So when you're witnessing to people, when you're talking to maybe a baby Christian, or even children growing up in the faith, they don't have an absolute, positive, fully developed faith in their young state, and you feed them a little bit and a little bit. You don't give them the whole playbook all at once. They can't follow it all at once. It's too much. And so when they stumble and they miss the play, and the ball's turned over to the other team, don't throw them away and move on to someone else. We have to slow down. We have to proceed at their pace. And as we look at Jesus' close followers today, because that's where we're going, we're going to see that even they didn't accept the truth that he had risen from the dead. In the beginning, they had what I call an eclipsed faith. You know what an eclipse is? Eclipse of the sun. The light of the sun is hidden. I've seen a full eclipse. I don't know if everybody here has, but the light is hidden. It gets dark. And then slowly, and more and more light starts shining out until finally we're fully basked in the light. That's how it is. And that's how it was with these followers of Christ. Open up to your Bibles. We're going to go to the Gospel of John this morning. And I'm going to go to chapter 20. It's a pretty good recording. All four Gospels record this, but I chose John. Verse 1, chapter 20, Gospel of John. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Okay, we'll stop there for quick. Mary, and we're going to find out a couple of several other women. What's wrong with this picture, guys? Where's the men? You know, that's a lot of our problem in this world today. Men aren't men. But anyway, that's another sermon. The women went to the tomb early. They had a purpose. Their purpose was to finish completing the burial preparations. Think about that. Think about that I just said. They went to the tomb to finish the burial preparations for the body of Jesus. What did Jesus tell them all his life? I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to rise from the dead on the third day. They didn't believe it. On that morning, they did not believe Jesus rose from the dead. They thought he was still in that tomb. And they were going to anoint his body. But Mary, she saw the stone rolled away. What's her first thought? Oh, he has risen. No. Her first thought was, they've stolen the body of my Lord. Again, she didn't believe. So now we move over to John and Peter. Now they go to the tomb. And we're going to read about their level of faith, and it's not much higher than Mary's was. Verse 2. So here it is. She saw the stone rolled away. She ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciples, who Jesus loved, so that's John, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we..." She uses "we" because there were other women, but it wasn't mentioned in verse 1. "And we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and came to the tomb first. Now, I'm not going to comment on the competition between those two. But anyway, at this point, Mary's faith is not extinguished. The flame isn't out. It's just that it's eclipsed. The light's there, but it's covered up right now. She can't see it. And so Peter and John, they're in the exact same spiritual condition. At this point, when they got to the tomb, they did not fully understand the truth. Running to the tomb, they should have realized, he has risen from the dead, just like he told us. But no. Have you ever been in that place on the road of your faith? Maybe this is where some people are right now. Even in this room, maybe. Not 100% sure of what you believe. Stay tuned. Watch these followers of Christ. They gradually are moving on to the next level. So here's Peter and John. They're at the tomb. And Scripture tells us in verse 5, and he, talking about John because he's there first, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there. Yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen clothes lying there. I'm emphasizing that word saw twice now, and there's a reason for that. And the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place all by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So they did all this, and then it says they went home. This is the point in which we see their faith beginning to dawn. When John went to the tomb, he cautiously looks in. As if maybe he's afraid something's going to jump out at him. I don't know. But he cautiously looks in the tomb. He stays outside. And scripture says he saw, S-A-W, he saw the grave clothes lying on the stone slab. There's no body. Peter arrives second, and impulsively he just charges into the tomb. That's Peter. He's impulsive. And he also, it says, saw the linen clothes lying there, empty. And he saw the head covering, all folded up. Scripture says it was folded, and it was put at a different place. So now John said, okay, Peter's in there. John goes in, enters the tomb, and he saw and believed. Now let's chew those words over, saw. John wrote this. He was guided by the Spirit to carefully use three different Greek words for the act of seeing. When John was outside the tomb and looking in, he saw the grave clothes. The word is plebo. Blebo. B-L-E-P-O. And it simply means glance in or to look in. In verse 6, however, when Peter barges in the tomb and saw, it's Herio, H-E-O-R-E-O, if I got it spelled right. And that means to look carefully, to intensely behold. Now, he's studying this. He's calculating. When the body was put here, it was wrapped up in all this with 100 pounds of spices, and the clothes are here, and the spices are here. There's no body. And there's the head. He's calculating all this. And then in verse 8, when John goes in, and he saw and he believed. That word saw. Eidio. E-I-D-O. That means to perceive with intellect comprehension. He understood. He knew at that point when he looked in, he has risen from the dead, because it says he believed. That is the point that every Christian has to come in their faith. They have to come to the tomb one by one, by themselves, and go into the tomb and see and believe. You see the progression of the faith here? They're evolving from eclipsing faith, I mean, covered up, not sure what's going on here, can't see, haven't forgot about everything Jesus said, but I don't understand it. And then they're moving over into a resurrection faith, dawning. So what was the kind of faith that Peter and John had when they went there? They had a faith based on evidence. Case for Christ. Lee Strobel was looking for evidence. How do I disprove this whole Christ thing? Instead, he ended up proving it. Well, they had evidence faith. They could see the grave clothes. They knew the body wasn't there. This is all based on evidence. But we are here living centuries later. We can't examine the evidence. What do we have? We have the record of the Word of God. And we're told in the record that this record is the truth. And after Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't appear to everybody. He didn't go back into the temple and appear to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and said, "See?" No. He appeared to selected witnesses that he knew was going to share this good news. And Peter and John saw the evidence and believed. And then later, the Holy Spirit confirmed their faith. And that's what's the Holy Spirit will do to every single believer today that comes to the point where they see and they believe. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and confirm your faith. And so that same evening, it says in the scriptures, that Christ came and entered the room in which they were. And so at that point, their eclipsed faith that had gone into dawning faith, the light, like the eclipse of the sun, is starting to get brighter and brighter and brighter, and all of a sudden there is the Son of God right in the room. And so we come to the third stage of trying to comprehend the truth of the resurrection, and that's faith shining. It comes off you like radiance that you don't have to say a word. And people know you're a believer. You know Christ. You know Christ because he's living in you. The Holy Spirit can't hide itself. Your body's like a cheesecloth and all that light just whoo, shines right out through it. Verse 11. We'll read what happened to Mary. But Mary, okay, the "but Mary" means, okay, she looked in the tomb. She thought they stole the body. She ran to tell Peter and John. They come running over. Look, see, saw, believed. It says now Mary stood there. Those two went back to their homes, it said. Mary stood there outside the tomb, crying. It says weeping. She wept. She stooped down, and now she finally looked in the tomb. And verse 12 says she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she says back to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And so she said this, she turned around. And she saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't know it was Jesus. Kind of reminds you of the road to Emmaus. Here they are, talking and walking and joking with Jesus. They don't even know it's him. And so Jesus says to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Just like the angels did. "Whom are you seeking?" And she supposed him to be the gardener, and she says to him, "Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I'll take him." And then Jesus says to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus says, "Don't cling to me. I've not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. 18 says, Mary came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he spoke these things to her. Now, when I think of Mary lingering alone in the garden, I actually think of hymn 606, in the garden. I stand in the garden alone. She was in the garden alone. I think of Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8, verse 17 says, the Lord's talking, I love those who love me, and those who seek me early will find me. And she was at the tomb early, and she found him. Mary loved her Lord, and she came to the garden to express that love. She still thought Jesus was dead, and she was going to anoint the body, but her weeping was like a loud lamentation that Jewish people did in those days when they expressed sorrow. And there's nothing wrong with crying, people. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. God created tear ducts in our eyes so that we could cry. Crying is good therapy for broken hearts. But the sorrow of a Christian is different than the sorrow of the world. We weep not because our believing loved ones went to heaven. That's a good thing. We weep because they left us here and now we miss them. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was ripped in two, top to bottom. You all read that. That's Matthew 27:51, and it's in some of the other recordings as well. That gave access to the Holy of Holies now, that nobody could go into except the high priest once a year only. And now it was wide open. When the stone was rolled away from the tomb, same thing as the veil being ripped in two. Now, the most holy place where Jesus was open for anyone to enter. And we see three people that went in there. And when she looked in there, what did she see? Two men in white. One at the head, one at the tail. Tail, wrong choice. One at the feet of where Jesus laid. Think about the temple. What was in that Holy of Holies place? The Ark of the Covenant, and on top of the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat, and on top of the mercy seat was a cherubim carved on the head and on the other end, and their wings touched each other. So we have a picture of the mercy seat. The slab. It's almost as though God the Father is talking to us right now and he's saying, I have a new mercy seat for you. Jesus paid the price for the sin. And now the way is open to the presence of God. We can boldly go to the throne of grace anytime we want. There's no veil. There's no stone in front of the opening. We notice Mary was not comforted by the words of those angels. She was determined to find the body of Jesus. Are you determined to find Jesus? I mean, is your whole being yearning and striving to find Jesus? You will only find Jesus if you diligently seek him. Now, Mary was sorrowful. And it's encouraging for us to know that Jesus knows all about our sorrows. He knew Mary's heart was broken. He knew her mind was confused, and she didn't recognize him. He didn't rebuke her, just like he didn't rebuke the woman in adultery. He just said, the first guy here with no sin, you throw the first stone. And they all left. Because we're all sinners. And then he just said to her, get up and sin no more. And so he didn't rebuke Mary for her lack of faith. Instead, tenderly, he reveals himself to her by just saying her name. All he had to do was say, Mary. And immediately, instantly, she recognized him. And that's because Scripture tells us his sheep hear his voice and he calls them by name. He calls every one of us by name. And we need to know this because as we go about our daily activities, we're going to the store, we're going to work, we're going to school, we're crawling under a house to fix plumbing, whatever it is, as we go about all this stuff, we get slumbered into this worldly trance. And the routine becomes a routine, and we're not thinking of Christ. We're not thinking of what he did for us. Jesus is speaking to us through the Holy Spirit all during our day, but we don't hear it. And this may go on for years. It's different with everybody in this trance. And that's all we think life is. I get up in the morning, drink a cup of coffee, go to work, or go to school, or go shopping, come back home, sweep the floor, make supper, chop wood, go to bed, start up in the morning again. That'll go on until you stop and you come to the garden early and you diligently seek Christ. And then he will call our name. Ken! And Scripture says that your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or you turn to the left, stop. This is the way. That's in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Now, Mary not only spoke to him, it says she grasped onto him. She held on. Reminds me of the book of Ruth. When Naomi said, Ruth, go back to your people. And it says Ruth cleaved to her. That word cleaved indicates not letting go, ever. I've got you, and I'm not letting go of you. That's how we got to be with Jesus. We come to that point where he speaks my name, he speaks your name, grab hold. Only be careful when you do that. Because when we find him, don't find him after the flesh. We have to relate to him as the exalted Son of God in glory and honor. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, fear means holy reverence. Fear means believing he'll do what he says he'll do. And one thing he says he will do, that if If you continue sinning and you don't come to Christ and repent, then you're going to suffer in hell. He will carry that out. When John was sitting at the table next to Jesus, Scripture says he laid his head on his bosom. They were close bosom friends. But after Christ's resurrection and his return to glory in heaven, Revelation tells us that when John saw him, he trembled and fell down on the ground as dead. He knew this was the God of all glory. It's good to have faith that's based on solid evidence. I'm a logical man. I like evidence. But the evidence should lead us to the Word. And the Word leads us to the Savior. In John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. What a difference it's going to make in your life when you come to the full realization of Christ's resurrection. Lord, open our hearts. Move us from blinded faith or eclipsed faith to dawning faith, to realization of shining faith. That we know you are alive. We know you are with us. You are walking with us. You are guiding us. You are directing us. Some of us may not be listening, though, Lord. So open our ears. Give us hearing aids and magnify your voice. Give us the desire to study your word and to know more about you. And we thank you, Lord, for your death on the cross, that you took every single sin, past, present, and those that haven't even been committed yet, of every single person, took them on yourself, that we will have eternal life. All we need do is come to you and believe. In Jesus' name we come. Amen.